Speedy app, what a delight. All is calm, page load is light. I used a template, now it's a web app. This week we're talking about preamp.
I'm not ready. I haven't played in a while.
Tools Day's back with a new one. Let's start the show.
Fresh
we'll
off,
keep it. We'll
fresh
keep
off
it.
Your debut at Clarity Conf.
Oh yeah, I didn't do that well on stage there either, but it's okay. I mean, it was funny. I did a song about dev.
Wait! You didn't say welcome to Tools Day.
Oh, sorry. I was still talking about my experience at Clarity. Calm down, boy. Let me live my life.
Okay, fine.
My ukulele is falling as we speak. I'm trying to place it on the ground. Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about the
Preact
CLI. We're talking about Preact, but we're talking about Preact CLI because both of us have used it recently on another Cubs episode.
I feel like we need a soundboard for this, a little you know, drum roll.
Cha-cha-cha.
Cha-cha-cha. Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Cha-cha-cha. Yeah, cha-cha-cha. That's okay. A good one.
Yeah.
Cubs. Yeah. So if you're new to the show, a bear growl is a good one. If you're new to the show, we are a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks. It's Tuesdays too, as you heard. But we decided to recently start a series called Cubs, Chris and Yuna Build Stuff, where we try out tools on our own to build random, like, fun little projects for ourselves to have a opinion or some insight on some tech that we haven't used before. Some announcements before the show. I do want to take a moment at the beginning of our show to thank our sponsor, Webflow. We usually thank them at the end, but they've been supporting us all this time, and we've been bad, and haven't had a show in the past month. And this is because Chris has been moving. I've had a lot of conferences I've been going to, so we're sorry about that. But we're going to try to be better. We have some exciting stuff planned for next year. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, in our next show, we're probably going to have some announcements to make. So without further ado, React.
All right. So, you know, I've been using React with the R, not a P, for a while. But you're brand new to React and Preact. So tell me what happened.
So I have very little experience with React. I've played with it here and there. I've built small things that kind of like the equivalent of going through the treehouse tutorial for React. Like, you know, I mean, they don't have one, but I went through some tutorials. And so I have an understanding of the concepts behind it, but I haven't used it in 2 years. It's been a long time. Not two, maybe a year. So I was kind of fresh to it going in, but I really wanted to work in a component-based system. And I know that Preact is a much smaller version of React. So I figured for my use cases, since I don't really know React that well anyway, I'm probably not missing anything if I use Preact instead. And it's smaller, it's faster, why not try it out? So I went through Wes Boss's React course while using the Preact CLI. I went through the React course on an airplane. So a little while ago, I downloaded all the videos so I could watch them offline, which is clutch. Thank you, Wes, for doing that. And then I was building the Fish app. But then based on that, I wanted to kind of translate those skills into an app that I was starting from scratch, that I wasn't following someone else's instructions, so I could really grasp the concept of React, which is basically passing things down through props and how you have constructors inside of classes, and a lot of ES6 stuff too is kind of wrapped into React these days. So that was kind of my background to this.
Yeah, and mine is, I work at Netflix now. That's my mini announcement.
But, woo!
And
We need more cheers. We need more applause. We need a soundboard.
Okay. So Netflix is of course a React company, and even prior to this, I was working in IBM Cloud, which was also a React company. So I've been doing React for a while, but I haven't really touched Preact. And so for me, this was a chance to. I mean, I've always like said, hey, why not Preact? There was a whole license issue about 6 months ago, 4 months ago, and everyone was like, maybe we'll all swap to Preact. And then it got resolved, so I never actually did that. And so this was a chance for me to see, what is all the hype about. So yeah, that was my fun time with this.
And we both ended up using the Preact CLI. So I used it because it was a really quick way to spin things up as a web app. I learned all about, they have like 5 different templates that you can use, and I ended up just using the default template. They have one that's even more basic, but the default template has an example of a user, a application state, like a store. It was actually a while ago when I did this, so I need to pull up my code to actually not lie to you all.
No, yeah. And so I've used Create React App, which is the equivalent of React CLI on the React world. When I start up a new project now, I kind of look for the CLI tool to kickstart it or bootstrap it. And Preact CLI is amazing. So do you want to talk about Preact CLI first, or do you want to talk about Preact?
Well, I kind of want to talk about our apps first.
Okay.
To give some context, because when I talk about this, I want to give some context.
Okay.
So my app was a book recommendation site. So I do a lot of reading, like a ton. I listen to audiobooks more accurately. I listen to maybe like 4 a month. Like honestly, way too many. But people always ask me like for book recommendations. So I was wanting to use the Google Books API to make requests and just kind of present these books in a way that was nice in like a little site that I owned, just give like a little JSON file for them to read the books that I like to read from my GitHub repo where I keep personal goals, and then just like present it in a nice way, use Preact to organize it all because they're all book components. So yeah, that's my app. What's yours?
So my app was something I was doing with Corbin, which is the old team I was on. And I wanted to build a CSS build customizer. So, if you've used Modernizing before or one of those old libraries, you can pick what you want and build a file out of it. And so my app was to build a customized CSS out of the massive SAS library that is Carbon.
So did it have a visual interface?
Yes, it did. So it was a visual interface for you to go through. And so this, for me, I wanted to try out a couple things out of Preact. I wanted to see how the API with events worked. Versus React. I wanted to see how routing worked, and I wanted to see forms, how forms worked. Those were the kind of the three things that was I was kind of curious about. And so that my app was a smaller UI. It was a splash screen because I wanted to see. I'll talk about this later, but Preact CLI has this really cool thing called Purple, and then a little generator thing. But yeah.
Yeah, and I was just kind of like mucking around. Like, I just want to make an app work. And I think that it's really nice because it makes you use their format.
Yeah.
And it's very opinionated.
Yes.
So it was kind of a teaching tool for me.
Yes.
When I was going through and doing some of the stuff. I want to talk about some of the things you mentioned, like events, routing, and forms.
Yes.
Do you want to start with events?
Yes. Okay. So, I've used React before, so React events aren't brand new to me. But what's different about Preact CLI is that it's actually a cleaner version of the event system. So React's browser matrix is, back
to. And what do you mean by event? Can you define that?
Yeah, sure. So like in JavaScript, you say add event listener. It's like a click, a submit, a, key down, key up, key press. Those are events, JavaScript events. And I just wanted to do something that, had some interaction going on. And I had known that the Preact does events a little bit differently than React. And so this is just me poking around with it. It turned
out.
How's
it different? Because I don't know how React does events.
Yeah, so when you use events in Preact, it's just the native event like it is in JavaScript, right? It's just the event directly. In React, there's a synthetic event on top of the event. And so React does this thing where it normalizes the event across all different browsers. And so, some events like, on Dragover may not work on the older browsers normally, but it does in React because React has this translation layer Preact doesn't have that translation layer. It just gives you the event directly, and so it has a slightly smaller or a much smaller browser matrix, but it's more direct. Whereas in React, where you can do most things through the synthetic events, sometimes you have to dive into the actual normal event for some data, and there's a little bit of nested shenanigans happening. Preact is very straightforward.
Question, like, kind of on that topic. I remember when React came out, the class name thing was a requirement. So if you wanted to write classes in JSX, you had to write class names or class.
Yes.
But I noticed that in Preact, you can write class and it works fine.
That's actually
Is that also true in React now?
No. So Preact went and added it. So Preact has all these kind of like really nice to
niceties.
Have. Niceties. that React does not have, right? So Preact has, you can just say my div and class versus class name. Preact gives you a whole bunch of small things, which are just like really nice to have that React does not have. The class is one of them.
So kind of speaking about classes and style, this is definitely about Preact CLI.
Yes.
But not so much about Preact. So Preact CLI, like we mentioned earlier, is very opinionated. And one thing that really surprised me at first was when I opened it, it has style components. Is that what it is? Or
You can choose
CSS modules.
Style components, but you can choose what you want, right?
So not with the default. Like if you're just creating the default application without any customization, you're going to get styled components. And I liked it, but I wasn't expecting it, so it kind of confused me. And if it was up to me, honestly, I'd pick SAS still because there's so many niceties that I'm used to with SAS. But if you open it, every single component has an index file and a style file within it.
Oh, no. And I think it's CSS modules.
CSS modules.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
It was one of those two.
Yeah, sorry. I got confused too. Okay.
Yeah, so it's CSS modules. My bad. Don't at me.
Yeah.
That's what's in this. So every component that you include by default has like routes to like link it with an index, JS, and style.css. And then it took me a little second to understand this because it wasn't in the default example where if you use the class, you can pull the class in from style and it can be like the class's style dot like book links, like if that's what it is. So then it reads that style file, the style.css file, and it looks for that class and it applies it to your page like it would like CSS modules. It actually renames it. It does all these niceties that are more performant. So just be aware that if you're unsure what this layout is, look up CSS modules.
Yep.
And you'll understand.
Something else that Preact CLI has, so the Create React app, which is the React version of this, also comes out of the box with CSS modules, but does not work with any of the CSS preprocessors. So if you want to use Sass, Less, Stylus.
I thought that there was a way to do that, to set it up.
In the Preact CLI, it comes out of the box, it works. You just import that file. In the Create React app one, you have to eject and do a bunch of manual things. So for me, I use Sass most of the time, although recently something else. So using the Preact CLI was really nice because I got my SAS without having to eject out of it and do a bunch of custom work. So, while Preact CLI is very opinionated, it has a bunch of things also built in for you in case you don't agree with some of their opinions.
Yeah. I also want to, mention briefly that this actually took me a second, so that's why I'm mentioning it. If you want to have multiple classes, you need an array of classes. Like that was what I expected because when you do get the style, it takes an object.
Yeah.
And it takes an object with an array of classes if you want multiple classes on one object. Another thing that I like about the Preact CLI or Preact in general is this active class name thing. So like active, and there's like a few different events that work that way where you can just set active class name for like links, for example.
Oh yeah. That's Preact Router, I believe. Preact Router
Is our next topic.
Yeah, so Preact CLI comes out of the box with Preact and Preact Router, and Preact Router is a kind of a very simple routing library. So if you just want to do like, you know, basic client side routing, it's out of the box for you, and you just, you know, if you've used Preact Router before or other client side routing, you have, you know, the links, you have link, router, a bunch of stuff, but you essentially can build a more or less straightforward web app with deep routes.
Okay, this I will say was way easier than React, because like when I was going through S's course, he had React Router.
Which
and
version,
it was a
you know?
Mess. I don't remember. He updated it recently.
So the React Router
but,
is...
But, yeah. Everyone's like, use Redux now. Oh, bleep that. Bleep that.
You know, I'm so bad about her language. My goodness. No.
This, we don't... We have no shows that we rate R, so we don't want to... Yeah,
so React Router is pretty cool. It works for most things really well. It also has... lazy loading of routes built out of the box. So what that means is that sometimes you want to split your bundle of your application into multiple files. And so let's say when you hit your homepage, you just want to load your homepage JavaScript. And then when you navigate to an about page, then you want to load your about JavaScript.
And that's automatic.
And it's automatic if you use the async route component. So they have a route component and an async route component.
Uh-huh. I didn't do that. I should do that.
Yes. So in React Router, you have to manually do that. It's not out of the box. And it's still pretty straightforward, but you have to like do a little router, and it's just not as easy. React Router is really straightforward. Although I will say, one thing that's really nice about Preact is that if you start going into more and more complex routing, Preact Router kind of starts falling through. With like view composition, if you want to have multiple views in the same place, and it gets Preact Router doesn't work for that. But React Router 4 works out of the box with Preact. It's just you just import React Router 4, and it works perfectly fine. So if you get to the point where Preact Router doesn't work for you, React Router 4 just works.
And you can also use Redux with Preact too.
Yes,
that's like kind of a separate thing.
Yeah.
So what else I want to talk about? I just had an idea, and then I totally flipped my mind.
There's like so much in Preact CLI that's out of the box, and it's just so amazing. I can go on about this. So one of the things that they do is they do a ton of performance stuff for you out of the box.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. How it's a web app.
Yeah, it's a web app. They auto generate service workers for you. So if you want to hook that up for you, you don't need to do anything. It just works out of the box. They have this really cool thing which I haven't seen anywhere else in a generator called the Purple Pattern Support. So purple PRPL stands for something great. Push render precache load lazy load, which all that means is that your first route is essentially pre-generated, and so when you render that first route,
wow, did you have that memorized?
No,
I just
no,
looked it up.
I looked it up. So basically, what Preact CLI does is that it when it compiles your code, it creates a static HTML file for your first route. And so when that renders, it's super fast because there's no JavaScript base to it. It's just like, boom, HTML.
Oh, that's really nice. I didn't realize that.
It's really smart, and it's like I had never seen a generator do that for me out of the box. It's like, oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, it's like, 100 on Lighthouse by default?
Yes.
It has everything. It has like the manifest, everything you need there. That's so cool. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's just like... So many things you don't have to do to get a performant application right out of the box with the Preact CLI.
And yeah, I really, really liked using it. So like routes themselves can be components. I was like kind of like understanding that. And like I was, this was kind of a bit of a journey for me.
I think it's cool. I mean, this is your first introduction to this entire ecosystem. So
yeah, no, I really liked it. I'm trying to think of some gotchas that kind of confused me at first. Let's see what else. There's a bunch of stuff I just can't really think of them off the bat.
There were some things, if you're a React person, that will take a hot second to get used to, but in a good way usually. So React has this thing called children, so this.props.children, which is anything nested inside of a component in React. That's a array of React children, which is its own little type of thing. It's not really a real array. You have to do some funky things to it to make it actually manipulable. Whereas in Preact, it returns to you just an array of stuff. And so out of the box, it essentially has... So React has this thing called react.children.toArray, which you can transform children to a normal array. Preact does that out of the box, and so you don't have to do that extra step, which is really
so
nice.
So wait, what is it in React then?
In React, so let's say I want to map, I want to adjust, change a child. I want to add a property to a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this.props.children.map and then do something with that because this.props.children is not actually a real array per se. I feel like I'm probably messing up some of the technicalities behind this. But generally what you have to do is that you have to use React.children methods that are specific to React. Whereas in Preact, you can use your standard JavaScript methods.
Yeah, I basically just used basic things, props, just pulling things down from parents. Nothing too crazy. Let's see, I'm looking up, because I got confused at some point, and I was like, does anyone have any questions about this?
I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to ask, so I noticed in React, a lot of the time you uppercase components as like what your default naming convention is, but in Preact CLI it was lowercase. I don't know if that was.
It's a thing. So everyone kind of follows the Airbnb style guide for React. Not everyone, but a lot of people do. And that one has it as a capitalized letter. And so
I ended up going with that because it felt better to me.
Yeah, I like capitalized letters. My current place does not use capitalized letters for components, and it drives me crazy.
I like how it differentiates. Yeah. So, okay, Chris.
Yes.
Fire round.
Okay.
What would you say not to use Preact for? Like, when would you use React?
If you have a larger browser matrix than just the latest browsers.
What does that mean?
So if you have to support IE10,
okay.
Right? Don't use Preact. I mean, you can, but then you have to like polyfill things, and there may be some more additional things that you have to take care of.
Yeah.
Don't use Preact. But for many projects, or just you want to get use things super fast, and just use ES6, Preact is a great choice. One thing I found that is not Preact's fault is that React 16 came out about 2 months ago, which is React Fiber, and it had a bunch of performance updates. So React is actually not quite as performant, but very, very performant regardless. React 16 and 16.2 has this new thing called Fragment. So some of the React new features are not in Preact yet. There's two things in particular. One is called Render Portal in React, which means, so right now when you use Preact, you have this render DOM thing or React, which renders your application to essentially a div, and everything's nested inside of there. With React 16, there's this new thing called Render Portal, which basically lets you render a specific component to a different div somewhere else. And this is useful if you're trying to do like overflow menus that have to be positioned absolutely across somewhere else or modals.
So you can put fragments inside of other components like and take that styling?
Kind of. It's more of like there are some edge cases in creating components where you need a div in a different part of the div hierarchy in the DOM. It's really
okay. So I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's really easy to do now in React with the React Create portal. Preact does not have that yet. And then one thing that came out like 2 weeks ago in React is React Fragments, which means so right now in React or prior to this, you cannot return two adjacent divs without having a parent. All right, so you had to have a wrapper div around anything in React. With React 16, you can return adjacent divs, more or less.
And, oh, nice.
It's
that's
funny
really
how
just
nice
like,
and
it's
how
like the small things. That's actually a really big deal because one of my biggest issues with React is that it was introducing a lot of like random web cruft and device because of the way that it's formatted and like because of very understandable technical foundations of React.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's not doing that anymore is pretty cool.
Yeah, and so there's this thing called Fragments, and it's React 16.2, which is the very latest version of React. And so I personally am still using React. I like Preact CLI. I like how quick it is. and it's got a lot of nice things to it. But for me, the React ecosystem is still, it's still big enough, and still it has the small advantages of like, oh, you know, a lot of, there are a lot of plugins for React. While Preact has a Preact compatibility layer, which does, which lets you patch it in. There's some small things I still like, prefer to use React for. So
I would recommend honestly doing both, just as you're just to get an understanding of the other product, and then maybe test your app, like see how it feels, because I think a lot of things in Preact are really nice to have that aren't in React, and like there's a couple things in React that are nice to have that aren't in Preact. So that I think is just a good experience to try and to better your understanding of each. Like I really like this quote, you can never understand one language without knowing at least one more. It goes the same with frameworks, like you can't really understand a framework without like trying at least one more, and this one's so similar that it's not even that different, honestly. Like, try Ember. Something else.
I mean, this is, it's so, again, Preact is just, it's so similar to React, and it's got so many small niceties that, like, I kind of want to just use Preact, but then, like, there's, like, one small, there's one or two small things.
It's not worth porting it all over.
That I'm like, ah, oh, I just, I want that more than I want Preact's 4.5 kilobyte, you know, size.
Yeah, but I like the size thing if I'm building a simple application.
That's true. And if you're building an application for, like, a heavily bandwidth restricted area, the Preact Preact might be
For sure, because that's like a major, like if performance is your number one, absolutely do use Preact, because you're going to be saving as many kilobytes as you possibly can. I do want to note that Preact to me like wasn't as much of an interesting difference in the way I code as CSS modules was. Because, like, it was just entirely different, like, the way that you import styles onto an item. And I think that before CSS variables, I would not be into them. But with CSS variables, because you can have, like, these global variables that can be pulled into any component and rewritten inside of any element as well, I love that. Like, I love that there is, like, a global style, but then with these global variables and, like, local variables, too, in CSS, like, it just makes it very easy to style, and it makes it what I expect and want. And I don't really think that without that it would be as easy to use. There's also Grid that is awesome. Like, I don't know, like if you're using Preact, you're already not supporting IE11, so you might as well use Grid.
I just realized that I'm wrong about that. I thought Preact did not support, but apparently they go back to 9 now. Which is, I think, which I think is new.
Okay, if you
I
don't
swear
care
to God, last time I saw this, it was not this great. But apparently, I'm just a huge liar. So sorry, Preact people, for saying all those incorrect things. But
we'll make a note.
Yeah.
There's even like a switch to Preact thing. Oh, it's the Preact compat alias.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to use like React add-ons that don't work out of the box with Preact, because there are certain things like the children API, which is different, which some, you know, React plugins will expect. You can use the Preact compatibility layer, which is another little add-on, and then everything works as expected.
And also, you don't have to use ES6 with React. There's a whole Preact without Babel or JSX.
Really? Oh, yeah. There's Preact without JSX, but I think with Preact, you have to use ES6 classes.
You don't. There's a whole repo that's called Preact without Babel.
Oh, my God. Am I going insane?
But it's older. It's like, it's 2 years older. Well, it's like the modern. If you want to use the modern Preact, then yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
There's a Help Support Us link at the top right corner. They're an open collective to support Preact. It's a great project. It really is. So normally I would kind of talk about like getting started with Preact and like some tips or tools to get started with it. I would just recommend, honestly, finding a React tutorial that uses ES6, like a modern React tutorial, and learn that and then use Preact like yourself. Like there's no real need to look for Preact specific thing. You'll find more out there on React.
Real. And on that note, Kent Dodds just came out with a great egghead.io tutorial on React, so check that out.
Cool. We'll have links for all of this stuff in the show notes, as well as the Preact Slack channel, so make sure to check those out. They're on our website, toolsday.io, toolsday.io. Any closing thoughts, Chris?
React and Preact are both amazing, and huge fan.
Yeah, I am too. I think I'm a bigger fan of Preact than React because it feels like it feels more homely, like homey.
Does it?
It's weird. Yeah, it's like okay. more cozy.
Well, I don't have
it's
that.
It's smaller.
Feeling.
It's more cozy. Okay. I don't know all the stuff.
Okay.
that React has that I'm missing. You know. Okay. So thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're actually really running out of time. If you want to support the show, you can donate to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/toolsday. TOOLSDAY. Follow us on Twitter at toolsday, and we will catch you next week.
Bye.